This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury with
Arvind Braj
and Christine Wong.
We talk about automation today. Before we get back to the question in hand, let's have a quick update from Bursa at break.
It is down by 0.22% at 1,591 points. Active stocks are Dagang Next Change, Valestro Energy, and Alamarintin Resources. The ringgit is at 4.03 against the US dollar, 3.13 against the Aussie dollar, and 3.04 against the Sing dollar.
Now, automation and robotics have long been considered dangerous to the human workforce due to their replacive nature. However, that mindset seems to be changing as more companies employ automation tech to complement and not substitute its employees. Could a hybrid model be the future of human-robot dynamics at the workplace? That's why we're asking. Which sector or industry could benefit the most from automation and why? Let us know. We have a poll on Twitter. The numbers are...
10.5 for F&B, 68.6 for manufacturing, 18.1 for construction.
What about over on Instagram, Chris? What do we have?
So on Instagram, we have Tigris versus Leo, who says retail, interestingly enough. And Ben Tan... 0524 says online content moderation to reduce emotional damage to human moderators. Very good point.
Oh, interesting.
I think they tried doing that for a little while, didn't they? Some companies have tried it.
I believe Facebook has a mix, a hybrid approach to moderation at the moment.
All right, let's move on to our next story. It's somewhat related, and it talks about how the market loves companies that are focused on automation, whether it's those that deliver automation capabilities to business and consumers, stuff like Salesforce, ServiceNow, or companies that embrace automation as a core part of their operational strategy, Amazon, Tesla, Uber, Google. The market rewards these companies with big valuations, high stock prices, fast-growing revenues, and strong customer loyalty. The more automation there is, the greater the ability for a company to scale. You're adding things like cloud capabilities, and you've got the ultimate combination of speed and flexibility. The advantage is huge, and old-school businesses that have not embraced automation have fallen behind quickly as the COVID-19 pandemic has further expanded the gap between the haves and the haves-not. Yet a common refrain from companies large and small, fast-growing and slow-growing is, quote, we are too busy to automate. Now, there's some sort of belief that these large, successful companies had to automate because of their success rather than the reality, which is that automation has been a deep causal factor for their success. So you look at stuff like how to improve and what would be good investments in automation. You look at a bunch of areas, but stuff like customer onboarding to help customers get value from platforms quicker, customer self-service so customers can get what they need quicker, and recruiting is a big one. Every company is different, but there are a few things that we can all learn from high-growth companies that have made automation part of their company's DNA. I'm going to run through a list here. There's some really interesting ones. So automation is first seen first and foremost as a way to free up businesses and people to focus on higher value activities, something what we just spoke about earlier on. Most fast-growing businesses will tell you they can't hire quickly enough, and automation can help close that gap between what needs to get done and the people available to do it. Now, it's a process of continuous improvement. Companies automate one part of their business, and they can quickly move to automate another using the ROI gained from that previous project. And that's what fuels the digitization of these businesses. Automation requires prioritization. It's important to identify those business processes and workflows that present quick and easy wins by automating the most manual of tasks, or those that pose the biggest obstacles to your company's efficiency and growth. You can automate an entire end-to-end process or one piece at a time, so the former will offer far greater value, but the latter might be a safer way to get started. Don't forget your data. Most automation efforts spin off a lot of valuable data about the business. Many companies find this data just as valuable, if not more so, than the cost savings and efficiency improvements that you get. Measure your progress, both hard and soft metrics, to fully understand it, and use it to celebrate success and create a culture of continuous improvement and automation in your organization. And when it comes to ROI, your mileage will vary depending on the process you are automating and the scope of it, but it's there. So back in 2017, McKinsey estimated that companies across industries automating 50 to 70% of tasks in a workflow saw a 20 to 35% decrease in annual run rate costs, time saving of between 50 and 60%, and triple-digit ROI percentages. No matter how you look at it, that type of ROI is a little bit hard to ignore. So in 2020, digitization and automation became requirements of survival for many businesses. The old excuse of, I'm too busy to automate, was replaced by necessity due to the pandemic. And the benefit of this forced automation is that it's laid the foundation of many of those same businesses to accelerate their growth by eliminating inefficiencies and creating a more flexible and scalable infrastructure. One of the big lessons coming out of the pandemic for all businesses is to be relentless about identifying ways that automation can benefit your business and leverage those best practices to drive your organization to greater success. And never use the excuse that you're too busy to automate ever again.
Hmm.
So let's think about it. Just kind of brainstorm very quickly here.
Yeah.
The companies that you come across, the ways in which you interact, whether you're using the bank or you're using the supermarket or whatever, and you've encountered automation of, and Christine, where do you think you've kind of come across it most often, and when has it been most obvious to you?
Customer service. That has to be like the first one, especially when it's trying to filter out if you have an actual problem or do you need like a human person to, you know, help you and solve your stuff. So I think that's like the client facing or customer facing side, right? But also, like Chris, you mentioned retail. Someone said retail just now. I think that's the biggest one as well. If you do online shopping, most of the systems, I think, are largely automated. They take inventory and they sort of like update the stock. Everything is done in the back end. It is, no one's going there manually and doing things. I hope not, at least. So I guess those two fronts.
Yeah, so I'm totally inclined to agree. I think the main form that automation takes in my life is also customer service. But at the same time, I find that it's also that's also the part of my life that I don't want automated so much in a way.
Yeah.
Because how many times have you gone through the entire bot's list of like questions and they still aren't answering your question and you immediately are like, I want to talk to a human
person.
Can
I speak to someone?
Yeah.
And when you're at that stage, are you more often than not able to speak to a real person, or are you just kind of doing the round robin? Again,
it depends, I think, on the service, and it also depends on, you know, if they give you the option, right? Because a lot of call based automated customer services will allow you to just kind of like hit zero to speak to a human operator. But when you look at chatbots online and stuff like that, it means sometimes it doesn't really give you the option until you've gone around and around for a while.
Have you tried it sounds silly, but it actually works for a lot of them, getting angry with your chatbot?
I don't like to get angry with my chatbot, though. I still feel bad.
Like it's Wally.
Yeah.
Have you tried that?
No. So if I want to get to like a human person, I mean, generally the hack is to just give it wrong answers,
right?
Or type things that don't make sense, and eventually
just randomly bash on your keyboard.
I have actually just typed, I would like to speak to a human, and it has actually worked on some chatbots.
Because I mean, in some of the interviews that I've done recently, you know, the idea of like emotional AI and in chatbots is becoming a very real thing.
Yeah.
You know, where it actually feels like you're interacting with a real person, and when you start getting a little bit snippy with them. You know, there is. It's like, oh, I'm really sorry. Let me just put you in touch with somebody higher up. And you know, like higher up means alive.
I know, but that feels mean.
No, it does. But you know, that's an entirely different discussion, isn't it?
Do you get like the frowny emoji after that? Then you know you've done some damage.
Even stuff like, you know, my Google Home little bot thing. If you're like, you ask it to play a song and it plays the wrong song and you say, hey, this is the wrong song, it goes, oh, I'm really sorry.
Aww.
And I'm like, oh.
I have apologized to my Waze before.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
For taking the wrong turn and stuff. So, you know.
Wow.
It's just, you know, we talk about like how people use like robotics and automation for companionship and stuff, right? People especially who don't have that human connection in their life. Mm-hmm. So I guess it falls under that same bracket.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We've got some music from the Sapphires here with Who Do You Love? coming up. And if you want to take part in our discussion, which sector or industry could benefit the most from automation and why? Let us know. Poll running over on Twitter. You can get in touch via WhatsApp, Instagram, and of course WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We'll be right back here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.